Hello and welcome to Volume 43, Number 47 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine, brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. This edition is published on Friday the 24th of November 2023. Hi, I'm Graham, your presenter, joined by your newsreader, Desney. And in this week's issue, sailors will be the first to use the new bridge. There's a big fuss over a big tree, and the Minster is turned over to the Angels. In addition, Andy has another headless ghost tale. Yes, all the details on your local news and events during the next hour, but first, it's the birthdays. Just one listener birthday being celebrated this week, and it's best wishes to Maureen Brown for next Friday, the 1st of December. From all at Grapevine, have a great day, Maureen. Time for some news, so it's Desney to the fore.
Hello everybody, this is Desney here, your newsreader for the week. Temperatures are tumbling again, so I hope you can get somewhere nice and warm and cosy, and we'll start with a bit of news. Great Yarmouth's third river crossing will be open to river traffic from next week. While the £121 million Herring Bridge will remain closed to road traffic and pedestrians until sometime in 2024, the opening to river traffic has been deemed a major milestone, as it allows final works to take place on the bridge deck and lifting structure. The bridge is set to come into operation for river traffic from 7 a.m. on Monday, with all river users required to gain permission to pass ahead of time. Tony Mulholland, Project Director for Contractors BAM Farrans Joint Venture, said, "We are in the final stages of preparing Haven Bridge for opening, and we would like to thank the public for their continued patience and support. Our team has worked closely with Norfolk County Council and the Port Authority to bring the bridge into operation for river traffic, and we'll provide further details on the likely date of the full opening in the new year." Councillor Graham Plant, Norfolk County Council's Cabinet Member for Highways, Infrastructures and Transport, said, "This is fantastic news for the project. Like most people in Great Yarmouth, I want to see that work's completed and Herring Bridge open to everyone as soon as possible. And hopefully, now it won't be long until we're able to start using it." With the bridge soon opening to river traffic, all river users must follow the new procedures for requesting passage from this time. These are available at the council's website, www.norfolk.gov.uk/3RC. That presumably stands for Third River Crossing. Great Yarmouth Minster will be filled with Christmas angels for an inaugural festival at the church. From Friday, December the 8th, the Minster will be hosting a Christmas Angels Festival. Local groups and schools have been invited to create angels to be displayed in the church, and organisers say creativity is running high. Great Yarmouth-based arts project, Represent, will be working with St Nicholas Priory Primary School and other local groups to create a 7-metre-tall Angel of Hope, which will greet festival goers as they enter the Minster. The festival starts at 6 p.m. on the 8th of December. On the opening night, Ben Jay from the Hippodrome Circus will be creating some spectacular light displays to illuminate the festival, and along with the Angels exhibitions, there will be plenty of activities for young and old alike, and mince pies, mulled wine and hot chocolate will be available. Church Warden Wendy Betts said, "This is our first ever Angel Festival, and the excitement has been growing." An angel factory seems to have appeared in the Minster, producing a host of angels to fill this huge building, ready for opening night. "We are really amazed at how the whole community has got on board with the fabulous event, and we can't wait to see people's reaction as they come into the Minster." A statement from the Minster added, "Angels are an important part of the Christmas story. So what better way to celebrate Christmas than to turn the Minster into the heavenly host with angels of all shapes and sizes." The Christmas Angel Festival exhibition will run for a week until Friday, December the 15th. Entry to the festival is free, but donations are welcome. Check the Great Yarmouth Minster website at greatyarmouthminster.org, that's all lowercase and all one word, or follow it on Facebook to find out opening times. The project has been funded by the Diocesan Board of Education and Community Connections volunteering. Coroners have launched an appeal to locate the family of a 90-year-old man who recently died. John Kent died in his home in Hickling on Monday, November the 20th. There were no suspicious circumstances in the death. Extensive inquiries have been carried out and no next of kin has been identified. Anyone with information relating to John should contact the coroner's office in Norwich on 01603 774 773 or coronerreferral at norfolk.gov.uk. A cinema audience was surprised one afternoon this week when a 15-rated film appeared on the screen instead of a family animation. Victoria McDicken, a children's social worker from Loddon, took her 7-year-old granddaughter to a screening of Trolls Band Together at the Palace Cinema in Galston. But a programming error meant that the 15-plus black comedy Dream Scenario was played instead of the U-rated cartoon. Mrs. McDicken said, "Before the film started, we had 45 minutes of ads that were just really inappropriate. Normally, before a children's film, you would see lots of animated ads. At one point, the trailer for Napoleon came on and it showed a beheading. There were a load of children in there, aged 3, 4 and 5 years old, and they were really upset by what they were watching. That's when some people walked out with their children. When the film started and the credits came up, it was a 15 called Dream Scenario." Mrs. McDicken said a member of staff ran into the theatre and ushered everyone away. She says she was offered a refund and a discounted return ticket, but did not feel her complaint was taken seriously by the management. "There was no manager at the cinema," she said, "so we had to wait an hour for him to drive in. If he had acknowledged it was serious when he arrived, I wouldn't feel this way about it. But he told me it wasn't illegal and they didn't even have a complaints form to fill out." She added, "I'm a children's social worker and I know what trauma does to children. That's not to say it would be to that level, but these kids could go home and have bad dreams." A spokesman for the cinema said, "Due to a programming error, Trolls had replaced the weekday scheduled movie, but the change had not been saved. Hence the trailers for the scheduled movie started. Once realised, the staff requested everyone to leave and switched off the trailers. The staff were indeed apologetic for the inconvenience and refunded the money and gave them a complimentary showing, which is normal when an unusual event or technical error occurs." He continued, "Fortunately, any occurrence is rare, but I find it disturbing that someone would feel we were dismissive, given the circumstances. It was as much as we could do. We take all incidents seriously and always make efforts to make sure people enjoy their visit." The film did not show. It was just the trailer, and it was purely accidental. All of us make an odd mistake, and although it should not have happened, I would have hoped any negative impact was lessened by the quick action taken by staff and additionally managed by parents. Up to 20 homeless people and families could be housed in a former care home in Great Yarmouth. Great Yarmouth Borough Council, GYBC, is seeking permission to change the use of part of Mildred Stone House on Lawn Avenue for 3 years to create 20 bedrooms for temporary housing homeless families or individuals. There would be 9 rooms for single people and 11 rooms for families. The care home is currently empty after closing as a residential care home for people with dementia in March this year. Under the proposal, the property would be leased from the current owner, a private care company, and used by the Borough Council. The existing office space and communal areas would be used by Borough Council staff and external agencies working with the occupiers to secure permanent homes. The parts of the home not part of the proposal are currently being renovated. Currently, individuals and families who find themselves without a home are often being placed in a B&B accommodation, which is not the council's preferred option. A document supporting the application stresses that using the site will support other policies that promotes the use of B&Bs specifically for tourism and release rooms for this purpose. It also says the change of use will bring an empty site back into use to the wider benefit of those who have found themselves without a home and allow time for the owner of the site to consider its long-term future use. A decision on this bid is expected by January the 12th next year. Last month, figures published by the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities revealed that spending on temporary accommodation by council homelessness services in England rose to more than £1.7 billion in the year to March, with bed and breakfast costs up by a third. A barber was found to have indecent images of children on a phone after he was reported to police by someone he had shown an indecent video to, a court had heard. Ece Hürrem, a Turkish barber, showed a video containing an indecent image of a child to a member of the public he had been talking to back in 2019. Norwich Crown Court heard Hürrem, 26, showed him a video on his phone which contained an adult woman and a child. Chris Yule prosecuting said after being shown the video in July 2019, the member of the public informed police. He said Hürrem, who works at a barber's in the Great Yarmouth area, was arrested by police who found a limited number of indecent images on his phone. Mr. Yule said police found only one Category A image, the most serious, although Category B and C images were also found, as well as an extreme pornographic image. Hürrem of Magdalen Way Galston appeared at court last Thursday after he admitted 2 counts of distributing indecent photos of a child and 3 counts of making indecent photos of a child. He also admitted possessing an extreme pornography image. Danielle O'Donovan, mitigating, said the most serious matter related to a single Category A image, which dated back to 2019, when he was just 20 and a very young man indeed. She said he had no previous convictions and was extremely regretful. Recorder Peter Guest said in this case he was dealing with images and distribution, which was limited, and accepted Horam was still young and of previous good character. Horam was sentenced to 16 months imprisonment, suspended for 2 years, and ordered to carry out 160 hours of unpaid work and 30 days of Rehabilitation Activity Requirement, RAR. He was also put on the Sex Offenders Register for 10 years and made the subject of a Sexual Harm Prevention Order, SHPO, also for 10 years. A gang member who helped steal more than £34,000 worth of alcohol in Norfolk and surrounding areas has been jailed. Alexandru Cercel, 39, and his accomplices targeted shops in Norwich, Great Yarmouth, Diss and Beccles between October 2021 and June 2023. More than £34,500 worth of champagne and spirits was stolen from supermarkets, including Tesco, Morrison's, Asda and Sainsbury's in Norfolk and other counties. Alcohol worth up to £3,000 was stolen in each raid, with the gang sometimes returning to the same store up to 5 times on the same day to empty the shelves. Cercel, formerly of Homestead Road in Dagenham, was arrested at Dover Docks trying to leave the country as a wanted man on July the 1st. He admitted to 26 further crimes in a bid to clear his slate, including 9 offences that were committed in Norfolk, accounting for stolen alcohol worth around £16,000. Cercel appeared at Canterbury Crown Court on November the 17th for sentencing. He admitted to 8 counts of stealing alcohol from Tesco stores in Cambridgeshire, Essex, Kent and Hertfordshire between October the 4th, 2021 and June the 13th, 2023. He also asked for the 26 other thefts to be taken into consideration. He admitted to 8 counts of stealing alcohol from Tesco stores in Cambridgeshire, Essex, Kent and Hertfordshire between October the 4th, 2021 and June the 13th, 2023. He also asked for the 26 other thefts to be taken into consideration. The scale of the operation was described as industrial during sentencing, and he was jailed for 2 years. The judge said the thefts were likely motivated to fund other criminal enterprises and that the method used indicated highly organised and planned offending. He was credited for admitting to the further 26 offences and showing genuine remorse for his crimes. Duncan Etchells, supervisor of the Norfolk Operation Converter TIC unit, said, "We will always do all we can to bring serious organised criminals such as Cercel to justice. By investigating him as we did, a large number of high-value retail thefts were put before the court, and we welcome this sentence as retail crime on this scale impacts all the customers of the affected stores." A Gorleston theatre will be turned into a retro wonderland as an indoor market sets a date for its debut. The Pavilion Theatre will be home to Magnus's Vintage and Retro Christmas Market on Saturday, December the 2nd from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Visitors are invited to soak up the Yuletide atmosphere while browsing retro clothing and antiques. Organiser Anne-Marie Doggett described the market, which has previously been held in Lowestoft, as like no other Christmas event in the area. The indoor market boasts quality local traders and businesses selling vintage items, celebrating eras of the past. Visitors are encouraged to dance to tunes provided by DJ Andy AV8 and live performances by Stan Young. There will also be food vendors outside the entrance, selling light bites and drinks. Previously, the vintage-themed event has been held at the Players' Theatre and the Grit in Lowestoft, but with the event growing in popularity each year, Miss Doggett wanted to expand into a larger venue.
Thanks, Desney. More news very shortly. But first, just for your info, the lowdown on the Grapevine Christmas issues over the festive season. All things are normal, or as normal as possible, until Friday the 15th of December, which will be the date you've all been waiting for, or not, as the case may be, as we bring you the traditional Grapevine Christmas special, which, as usual, will have a multitude of contributions to help you get into the festive spirit. The next issue, so we may hopefully catch the Christmas post, will be published on the following Thursday, the 21st, both post and online, and the following week, volume 43, number 52, for the 29th, will be initially online only, as we stand no chance with the post, unfortunately, but the audio, with our best wishes for the new year, will be included for our postal listeners on the USB sticks bearing the 5th of January edition. No weeks missed this year, and I do believe it's the first time in 43 years. Let's see what we can do in 2024 as we move to volume 44. Okay, enough rabbiting from me. Back to Desney for some more news, followed very closely by Andy and more of the weirder side of Norfolk.
This is headed Old Items, but I can't believe they can be classed as old items. A construction worker has found a treasure trove of nostalgic goodies under an old high street bank. Jackson Harmer from Galston discovered the historical artefacts while refurbishing the former Midland Bank in the town's high street. The items were found by Mr. Harmer under the shop's floorboards, which included drink bottles, newspaper pages, and bread packets. The oldest thing I've found so far is a newspaper dated October the 8th, 1963. Just 2 months after the great train robbery, he said. I particularly like a story about a nervous man drinking someone else's tea. Other artefacts included a McVitie and Price's digestive biscuits packet, an I Call It cream bottle, and a Fry's picnic bar wrapper. The findings call back to a time before Decimal Day in February 1971, when the UK restructured its currency and sterling was replaced. Midland Bank was founded in 1836 and was one of the largest in the country before it was absorbed by HSBC in 1992. It was then renamed HSBC Bank in June 1999. It has been ranked as the country's toughest park run, but the weekly race along Great Yarmouth's North Beach has been helping a local teenager with autism realise her dream of becoming a top photographer. Emily Metcalf, 14, suffers from anxiety and often feels overwhelmed in social situations. That began to change last August after she spotted a post in a local Facebook group asking for a photographer to volunteer at the Great Yarmouth North Beach Park Run. My mum responded to the post and we went down together that Saturday, Emily said. It was very scary for the first week. I let my mum do all the communicating while I hid behind my camera. Well, I was happy. As the weeks have gone by, she has become more relaxed. I feel so much more confident and I rely less on my mum to enjoy my Saturday morning, she said. Emily has now volunteered at 10 park runs and said the experience has allowed her to improve her photography skills and develop her own style of taking photos. She said it has also helped her realise that her autism will not stop her from reaching her dreams, and that with the right support, understanding and acceptance, she can do all the things that other people can. I've received positive compliments, and that has really helped boost my confidence, she said. Now Emily hopes that her experience will inspire others in similar situations to try new things, even if they seem frightening or impossible. If I can do it, I know they can too, she said. Emily is one of the 250,000 people taking part in Park Run in the UK every week. And she said the community of 8 million park runners registered to the charity has helped her. Everyone has been so kind and supportive, and I never imagined that I would feel part of such a big community. Transforming Great Yarmouth rail links with more frequent services to Norwich and beyond is the goal of a new 10-year call to action. Members of the East Norfolk Transport Users Association, ENTUA, want to see more trains running between the town, its surrounding villages and the city, longer transfer windows for connections at Norwich Station and better international connections via the town's railway line. ENTUA Secretary Steve Hewitt announced the group's aspirations, along with new prospectus, at an event attended by Greater Anglia managers and representatives of Sir Brandon Lewis and the Broads Authority at Great Yarmouth Railway Station on Tuesday. The prospectus reads that while Great Yarmouth is still a major holiday destination, it stands out as the poor relation when compared with Blackpool, which offers a direct service to London. At the meeting, Mr. Hewitt said, "We've always thought Yarmouth is neglected when it comes to rail services. One train an hour to one of the biggest seaside resorts on the East Coast is something that needs to be looked at." This document contains our aspirations for the next 10 years. None of them are silly. We don't want a 10-minute service. We just simply want extra trains running and to more places, for example, to Reedham, Peterborough and even Stansted Airport. ENTUA also outlined their hopes to see a longer bus service connecting the rail station with the town centre, as well as an EV charging port, that's electric vehicles, at the station car park. Alan Neville, Greater Anglia's Customer Engagement Manager, said he welcomed ENTUA's ambition. "It helps us to shape what we all want for the future, which is far more people to use rail," he said. "Some things are easier to achieve than others, but the main objective was getting new trains and improving the performance, and we've done both of those." Greater Anglia has recently celebrated impressive punctuality targets, with the Yarmouth to Norwich line hitting 99%. The train line also unveiled a new 1.4 billion fleet of trains in 2019. Two crumbling Norfolk hospitals may be forced to close before their replacements are complete, an influential committee has warned. The James Paget University Hospital in Galston and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in King's Lynn are both due to be replaced by 2030. However, the Public Accounts Committee has given a stark warning about the urgency of these projects. And it warns that if the work is not sped up, there is a serious risk that the new hospitals will not be ready before it is unsafe to continue treating patients in the buildings. The danger relates to the reinforced autoclaved aerated concrete, RAAC, used to build the hospitals, which has crumbled over time and has resulted in both sites needing to install fail-safe measures. The committee's report into the new hospital programme, which includes the Norfolk sites, as well as others around the country, reads "Rebuilding the seven RAAC hospitals by 2030 will be extremely challenging, yet there is a serious risk, if these projects are not accelerated and prioritised, that some hospitals may have to close before replacements are ready." The highly critical report adds that it has no confidence the government will deliver the new hospitals as promised. Dame Meg Hillier, the committee's chairman, said, "The physical edifice that is the NHS is quite literally crumbling before our eyes. There was nothing inevitable about this heartbreaking crisis. We are now seeing the consequences of this short-termism visited on patients and services. It is bitterly disappointing to report on the current state of the new hospitals programme." It comes as Alice Webster, chief executive of the QEH, dismissed fears over the project, stating the hospital was continuing to work closely with the programme team. The James Paget was one of the first hospitals to be announced as part of the replacement scheme, while the Queen Elizabeth was added earlier this year following a tireless campaign. A road in Ormsby has been closed and people living there have had to move their cars after a sinkhole appeared. Anglian Water said they have installed traffic lights on North Road in the village to enable their engineers to repair a sinkhole that opened up near a manhole cover in Chimney Springs. The sinkhole was reported to the company last Wednesday, November the 15th. A spokesperson said, "We are sorry for any traffic disruption on North Road in Ormsby. We have needed to put a road closure in place whilst our teams work to identify what has caused a sinkhole near a manhole cover. A temporary road will be put in place between Chimney Springs and Private Road for residents. We understand the frustration that roadworks can bring," the spokesperson added. "However, this work is essential for us to investigate the cause of the sinkhole and make sure the road is safe to walk and drive on again." Jeff Freeman, ward councillor who lives in the area, said that at the end of last week, a large section of the road collapsed. He said the hole is quite substantial, about 4 to 5 feet wide and 2 feet deep. "It looks like somebody has baked a cake and the middle has sunk away. It's a bit chaotic. It couldn't happen in the worst place. Thank goodness nobody drove into it," he added. Mr. Freeman said the hole means that residents of Chimney Springs can only walk in or out of their homes and are currently having to park their cars elsewhere. More than 5,000 people celebrated the spirit of Christmas in Galston. The town celebrated its Christmas lights switch-on event on Sunday, which saw between 6,000 and 7,000 people line the high street for a chance to see Santa Claus and a fireworks extravaganza. Great Yarmouth Borough Mayor Penny Carpenter was joined by Heart to Hearts Jane Biggs and cast members from Galston Pavilion's pantomime Dick Whittington. Kevin Huggins, the chair of Galston Traders Association, said Galston Lights Switch-On event was always extra special. "It was a great show and people looked to be enjoying themselves throughout the afternoon and evening," said Mr. Huggins. "It always feels special seeing in Christmas time in Galston, and our light switch-on seems to be more and more popular each year. It was a delight to see." The event culminated with a 10-minute firework display by UK Fireworks from the top of the Palace Cinema. The event received funding from Visit Great Yarmouth and GYTABIA and was organised by Michaela Smith Moon and Ruth Cockrell from Great Yarmouth Borough Council's events team. Great Yarmouth three-day Christmas Spectacular will start at 10 a.m. on Friday, November the 24th, in the town centre. It's a mystery which has locals stumped. A bid to get permission from the local council to trim a huge oak tree in a quiet Bradwell cul-de-sac has caused intrigue after the resident in whose name it was lodged said he had no knowledge of it. The application was made to Great Yarmouth Borough Council, GYBC, in the name of the homeowner on whose property the tree stands. But that individual has raised concerns with the council, saying they did not seek the permission and that their name has been used fraudulently. The application sought to trim down the tree, which has been protected since 1980, by as much as 3 metres. Tree experts, Farmland Forestry, were given as the agents. The tree surgeon said the work would reduce the weight and loading of the limbs to leave the tree sustainable, safe and healthy. There were also fears it was suffering from the effects of climate change, and it was believed it would recover well from the chop. However, the homeowner hit back at the application in an objection letter to the council, saying, "Someone seems to be fraudulently using my name to work on the tree on my property. This is not the first time that this has happened. I do not wish for this work to go ahead. The tree is healthy and is in no danger to anyone or anything." After reviewing the situation, GYBC's tree officer urged the authority to block the work, claiming it would have left large pruning wounds. The official worried that cutting off much of its canopy may have led to the tree's overall demise and removal. The officer said, "By trying to solve or alleviate a proposed problem, it would actually introduce a new problem." After deliberation, it was decided to refuse permission to trim the tree. And some more up-to-date information on that story about the tree now. The mystery over an application to cut down part of the protected tree that led to confusion in the cul-de-sac has been unravelled. The homeowners of the property with the tree said it had been lodged in their names without them having any knowledge of it, and argued the tree was healthy and should be left alone. But according to Amanda Cover, who lives at the neighbouring property, a council error meant that the wrong name was put on the application. She said it was a mix-up with the planning application, which had the wrong name and address on it. It wasn't made fraudulently, and the council soon rectified the mistake. While the error may have caused a bit of commotion among neighbours, the tree, which has been protected since the 1980s, remains unscathed despite the request to reduce its canopy. Protected trees can often lead to disputes among neighbours, with homeowners tussling over whether or not a tree should be cut down. While some people may find falling debris a nuisance or become frustrated that the dense foliage blocks their sunlight, others cherish their natural beauty and importance to wildlife. A wedding fair is returning to Great Yarmouth for couples looking to tie the knot in the new year. Great Yarmouth Town Hall will host its annual wedding fair, showcasing wedding suppliers, expert advice and inspiration on Sunday, February the 4th, 2024, from 10:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. The free-to-attend event boasts a curated selection of wedding exhibitors ranging from florists and photographers to bridal boutiques and caterers. The event will provide a one-stop shop for couples to discover and connect with experienced vendors. There will also be the opportunity to engage with wedding professionals offering insights and tips to help navigate the wedding planning process. Couples will also have the chance to explore the Grade 2 listed building as a wedding venue. Wendy Tackman, Wedding and Events Coordinator at Great Yarmouth Town Hall, said, "The Town Hall is an accessible, affordable venue which caters for all sizes of weddings and ceremonies. Join us in February for a day filled with inspiration, expert advice, and the chance to connect with some of the finest wedding vendors in the area."
And the next in the occasional Weird Norfolk series concerns Haysborough. And it's the terrifying tale of the humpbacked Haysborough torso, the ghost whose head trailed behind it. The grisly tale of Haysborough torso, the ghost of a sailor without legs and with a head trailing behind him on a thin strip of flesh, is one told next to roaring fires and on dark and stormy nights, and which still has the power to terrify today. It's perhaps not for the faint-hearted. The date differs when it comes to accounts of the horrifying Haysborough torso, but the details remain the same. A ghostly shape materialising in the dark, the awful realisation that the figure drawing closer has no legs, and then the even more dreadful discovery that the creature's head is dangling down its back, attached only by a thin strip of flesh. One story says that Haysborough's macabre cadaver was first seen in 1765. Others that it wasn't spotted until the 1890s. But regardless of the timeline, the spectre is linked to an argument between Dutch smugglers on the beach at nearby Cart Gap, an argument that ended in gunfire and bloodshed. Also known as the Pump Hill Ghost, an account of the destination for the dreadful creature, the disembodied torso was said to be wearing sailor's clothing and grasping a large brown sack to its heart as it made its way purposefully from the beach to the triangular spot between what is now Wimpwell Street, Wimpwell Green and Coronation Road, where there was once a well. First seen by farmers who were walking home after a day's work on the fields, the ghost was spotted moving from the direction of Cart Gap towards Haysborough village. At first, the farmers thought the creature was humpbacked, until with horror, they realised that the hump was actually the torso's almost severed head, bouncing behind it as it made its way towards a triangle of land, a long plait hanging from the head, almost touching the ground. Terrified, the farmers told others what they had seen, and soon reports began to circulate about the awful apparition as others came forward with their terrible tales. One night, a brave soul set out to follow the ghost on its journey to see where it would travel to. Gingerly tracing the spectre's route, the man watched as the otherworldly creature lurched towards the village well, at which point it launched the sack it carried, and then itself, into the well. The next day, the decision was taken to search the well. Villagers watched in trepidation as a slight young man was lowered in the bucket, down into the deep, dark well, until he hit the bottom with a splash. There, as he nervously felt around the water, and came across a rough brown sack. Other accounts claim it was a grappling hood, not a man who found the sacks. But the story's better thinking of a terrified villager reaching out in the dark. Inside the sack were a pair of sailor's boots. And inside the boots were a pair of sailor's legs. Horrified, the decision was made to immediately drain the well. Suddenly the village didn't feel thirsty, and see if there are any more macabre discoveries to be made at the bottom of the well. And there were. Another sack contained a torso in a traditional sailor's uniform, a strip of rotting flesh connected a grinning skull to the body, and a belt with a pistol hanging from it. On moonlit nights, it was said that terrible moaning could be heard ringing out from the well, and that before storms the ghost would groan. But when a newfangled pump was installed at the well, the ghostly goings-on came to an abrupt stop, until the pump was removed, at which point the groaning began once again. Fearful that the Haysborough torso would begin its dreadful coastal journey once again, the pump was quickly reinstalled. But the well fell into disuse in the 20th century, although villagers were unwilling to decommission the pump in case the ghost made an unwelcome return. Today, the area where the Haysborough torso was seen, said by some to be a story invented by smugglers to keep villagers in their homes at night, bears no sign there was ever a well on the spot. But should we go down and listen closely on a dark and stormy night? Anyone want to join me?
Sailors, stop your roaming. Sailors, stop your roaming. Sailor, leave the sea.
Petula Clark and her 1961 UK number one, Sailor. Hopefully Petula's Sailor had all his bits in the right place. Right, it's that time again to get you completely up to date with the rest of this week's local news.
A businessman is hoping to change the use of an amusement arcade to prevent unethical gambling in a Norfolk village. The planning application would see the disused venue next to Nippy Chippy, a chip shop in Bridge Road in Potterheim, converted into three commercial units. These would then be rented out to businesses such as hairdressers, convenience stores, offices or commercial storage space, according to the proposal. Papers state the applicant does not want to encourage gambling by keeping the amusement arcade and that it is not ethically suitable for the area. We would like to attract certain customers in the area and feel that the refurbishment of the building and the introduction of new businesses in the area will be beneficial to Potter Heigham, they say. According to documents submitted with the application, the applicant's granddad owned the premises some 30 years ago when it was run as an arcade with access to the fish and chip shop restaurant, and now the business has come back into the family again. The Broads Authority is expected to make a decision on the bid by January the 11th next year. A woman who runs an award-winning dog park has opened a second site. The Spinney Drive-In Field opened on November the 11th at Martham Poreground on Grange Farm off Common Road in Martham. Owner Lucinda Scott opened her first dog exercise park, now called Babbler's Walk-In Field, just off the A149 in spring last year. That went on to win Norfolk Dog Field of the Year in March. Her application to open the second field received widespread support in the village and wider community. Mrs. Scott said the main difference between the original field and the Spinney is the car park. The Spinney allows clients to use a key code to gain access to drive onto the infield car park. Once clients have parked and shut the gate, they are within the secure 6-foot fenced boundary, so they can just let their dogs out of their cars and walk straight into the field without the need for leads, and with peace of mind that there is no chance of meeting another dog, she said. The Spinney can be booked for 45-minute sessions and boasts activities including jumps, a fenced-off sandpit, and tunnels under a mound where the dogs can enjoy running over the tunnels as much as going through them. Both fields have a shelter for rainy days, seating, washdown hose, drinking water, and bowls, as well as dog waste bins and bags. In collaboration with Coastal Canines Dog Training Club, Martham Poreground will be offering classes in January, including a puppy foundations course of up to 20 weeks, a young dog course of up to 1 year, and one-to-one behaviour consultations. The running of Martham Poreground is a family effort, with Mrs. Scott's parents, David and Pauline Tan, doing the majority of the daily field checks, and her husband Peter building all the activities and taking care of maintenance. Get ready to be swept away by a tidal wave of glamour, glitz and high-energy performances as Galston Pavilion Theatre plays host to an electrifying drag show extravaganza. Encore is set to dazzle audiences at the theatre on Friday, December the 1st, featuring drag stars Lula Bell, Betty Tux and Chelsea Buns. The show promises an evening where entertainment reigns supreme. Alongside the artistry of drag queens and kings, there will be singing, dancing, comedy and variety. For more information, visit www.pavilionthearter.com. A drug dealer caught peddling cocaine while waiting to be sentenced for earlier drug offences, told police he had been forced to do it and he would be killed if he did not do so. Carl Lake, 32, was awaiting sentence after admitting supplying diamorphine and cocaine at Great Yarmouth, as well as dealing cannabis. But while on bail, Lake was caught again in Churchill Road, Yarmouth, with wraps of cocaine as well as £360 in cash and a mobile phone linked to drug stealing. Norwich Crown Court heard following his arrest, Lake told police, "People are forcing me to do this. He added he was told he would be killed if he didn't take part in the dealing. Brad Lawler, prosecuting, said the arrest on September the 12th this year followed Lake's earlier arrest on June the 22nd. On that occasion, Lake had been spotted by police in an area of Yarmouth visited by Class A drug users involved in a suspected drug deal in an alleyway. Lake was followed to an address in North Dean's Road and found with drugs, a smartphone, as well as £60 in cash. Inside the property, police found dealer lists and notes, as well as £160 in cash. In total, £860 worth of drugs were found, as well as the drug dealing messages on the phone. Lake, formerly of Northgate Street, Yarmouth, appeared at court having admitted two counts of being concerned in the supply of Class A drugs, one count of possession with intent to supply cocaine, and another of being concerned in the supply of cannabis. Jailing Lake for 32 months, Recorder John Bate Williams said the offences were so serious that only immediate custody is justified. Danielle O'Donovan, mitigating, said Lake had significant mental health problems and was preyed upon and had come to be abused and in fear of those above him. Santa Claus's elves are trying to throw Great Yarmouth's biggest ever party at this year's Hippodrome Christmas special. More than 60 circus performers are preparing to wow audiences at the Christmas Spectacular and Water Show, which begins on December the 9th. Starring Jack Jay and Britain's Got Talent hit Ben Langley, the heartwarming show focuses on Santa's elves trying to raise money to stage the biggest Christmas party for Great Yarmouth with many laughs and thrills along the way. The Wheel of Death will be returning to the fast-paced show, which also features aerial acrobats, mind-blowing magic tricks and a dynamic Diabolo act. The show concludes with a surprise twist following the unique Water Spectacular. Hippodrome owner Peter Jay said pre-bookings are at a record high. "It's going to be an amazing show," he said. "I advise everybody not to miss this incredible show and book early, as many of the shows will sell out. May I also take the opportunity to wish all our many supporters a Merry Christmas and a great New Year." The Christmas Spectacular and Water Show runs until January the 7th. For more information, call the box office on 01493 738 877 or visit www.hippodromecircus.co.uk. A cafe in Great Yarmouth has been given permission to serve alcohol and stay open late into the night, despite fears it would lead to more noise in the area. Brazilian Lounge, situated in Escort Road, applied for an alcohol licence 9 months after it initially opened. The application was met with one objection from a local who lives nearby, who feared the late night opening could lead to noise and loud music disturbing people in the mainly residential area. But Paolo Loureiro, who runs the business with his wife, assured Great Yarmouth Borough councillors he had no intention of playing loud music. He said the alcoholic drinks would predominantly be served to accompany meals, and that he would be careful to ensure customers would not cause any disturbances. The licence was approved, allowing the cafe, which serves drinks and dishes from Brazil, to stay open until midnight, but also to keep open later until 1 a.m. for special occasions such as Halloween, Valentine's Day and Easter. Mylene Klass went back to school. Singer and TV presenter Mylene Klass went back to her old school recently. The former Hearsay member, who was born in Great Yarmouth, has been helping a student at Cliff Park Ormiston Academy in Galston, where she herself studied as a teenager. She is mentoring Year 11 student Jaden Senti, who is passionate about building a career in performing arts, television or radio. And she went back to the school on Thursday, November the 23rd, to attend the Academy's awards ceremony. Alongside Miss Class and Principal Harry French, Jaden has been learning about the entertainment industry, with Miss Class coaching him to learn and perform the famous court scene monologue from the film A Few Good Men. The group has been practicing and speaking over video calls every week, with Miss Class even coaching Jaden while on location filming in Miami and Florida. The Academy saw the students perform the monologue as part of the awards evening. Miss Class addressed the recent graduates with some words of inspiration as they took towards their futures. She said, "It has been so inspiring to work alongside Cliff Park Ormiston Academy to help reach the next generation of stars and give back to the school that taught me so much. Working with Jaden has been really rewarding, and I've loved seeing his passion and confidence for performing continue to grow." Earlier, she said she was looking forward to attending the awards evening and seeing Jaden perform on stage in front of all his friends and supporters, and she has no doubt that he has a bright future ahead of him. The support from the school has been integral in helping him pursue his passions, and I'm so excited to continue working alongside Cliff Park to encourage all young people to aim high, she said. A village pub is celebrating after floodwaters receded 4 weeks on from Storm Ciarán. The Ferry Inn in Horning has only been accessible by boat since October the 26th due to flooding brought on by recent storms. The pub is now fully open to those travelling by car or on foot as floodwaters have finally receded. Manager Paul Walker said a huge clean-up operation has been underway, including ripping up much of the flooring in the main bar and restaurant. "The last few weeks have stretched us an awful lot. We went days without customers," he said. "It's nice to see some faces, and it's going to be really good to have a pub full of people again." The kitchen has been closed for the last few weeks, but is now serving a limited menu, with carvers returning on Sunday. The pub also hosted live music on Thursday and Friday this past week. Mr. Walker added, "We've got plans in place to help minimise the effects of flooding in the future. But if the water wants to come in, it will." Don't we know it? A man was rescued from the water on Braden on Wednesday afternoon. Galston RNLI were called to the incident at 3:54 p.m. on November the 22nd near the Asda store in Great Yarmouth. The Coast Guard and Norfolk Constabulary also attended the scene. The man was pulled from the water and taken back to the boat station, where he was passed into the care of the ambulance service. An East of England ambulance spokesman said, "Two ambulances, a rapid response vehicle, an ambulance officer and the air ambulance attended a call out to a person in the water in Great Yarmouth this afternoon. One patient, a male, was recovered from the water and was transported by land to James Paget for treatment. No further details are available." A woman has been warned she could be jailed after she admitted stabbing her former partner in the street. Marquita Cashaw, 40, stabbed Wayne McLeod in the chest with a large kitchen knife near her home in Mace Road, Bradwell. Mr. MacLeod, who also suffered a defensive wound in his hand, was taken to the James Paget University Hospital, JPUH, following the attack, which happened at about 10:44 p.m. on November the 10th last year. The stab wound suffered by Mr. MacLeod was so deep it grazed the liver. Kershaw had been due to go on trial at Norwich Crown Court, having denied wounding with intent and unlawful wounding. A jury was selected on Monday, November the 20th, with the case due to be opened on Tuesday, December the 1st. But Kershaw pleaded guilty to unlawful wounding. John Morgans, prosecuting, said following discussions with the victim and the officer in the case, it had been decided the plea was acceptable. Will Carter, representing Kershaw, said there would be an application for a pre-sentence report on behalf of the defendant. He said she was now 40 and had matters recorded against her. Mr. Carter said Kershaw had undertaken a domestic violence course which she had found helpful. He added probation would need to explore the extent to which she drinks. Judge Andrew Shaw adjourned sentence until January the 18th and ordered a pre-sentence report to be carried out prior to her being sentenced early next year. But Judge Shaw warned Kershaw this was a serious offence. He said all options, including custody, were open. Kershaw was granted bail with conditions, including that she stay at her address between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. A man has walked more than 140 miles all the way from Norfolk to his dad's care home in Northamptonshire to raise money and awareness for a dementia charity. James Draper, 44, trekked 144 miles from his Sea Pauling home to visit his dad, Bob, 76, who was receiving care for dementia at Ken Royal Care Home in Wellingborough. Mr. Draper's six-day challenge has raised more than £3,500 for Dementia UK. It is a charity which means a lot to him after losing his granddad, Peter Richards, to dementia and seeing his 88-year-old nan, Edna, also be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Mr. Draper, who completed the trek on November the 19th, said, I came up with the idea around a year ago. My family has been hit with dementia badly throughout my life. I lost my granddad to dementia and then my father was diagnosed about 8 years ago. My nan has since been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and she's suffering quite badly with it as well. It's very dear to our hearts, this charity. I'm travelling to see my dad as much as I can at the nursing home, but he's deteriorating. It's tough living so far away from him, so I came up with the idea that I would walk it to try and raise money and awareness for Dementia UK. It was a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be, and I'm suffering now for it, he said. The support I've had and the donations I've received have been overwhelming. The support dragged me through when it got tough. Dad was always in my mind as well. When I went through a rough patch and my legs were starting to give me some serious pain, I thought of him and it pushed me on. Thank you so much for everyone's support. I can't thank everyone enough. To donate to Mr. Draper's fundraiser, visit James's Fundraiser for Dementia UK on Just Giving. Freezing, get ready. Temperatures in Norfolk are set to plummet this weekend as a cold front comes in from the north. The country is set to see freezing temperatures and there is a chance that some showers could turn wintry. Oh no. Daytime highs are expected to be around 6 degrees centigrade but will feel much colder as the front brings cold northerly winds to the region. A Met Office spokesman said, "This cold northerly wind may encourage some wintry showers to feed in off the North Sea, but the ground temperatures are too warm for snow to settle. The most likely outcome is for some showers to contain some sleet." Chris Page, who is a weather presenter on ITV Anglia, said that eastern coastal areas are most likely to see the wintry showers.
Well, that's it for this week's recording, which is copyright 2023 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. If you need to contact us, you can do so via our website at grapevinegy.org or telephone us on 07947 946 493, where you can access our regularly checked answering service. Next week, your newsreader will be Andrew, so we look forward to welcoming you then for much more of your local news. In the meantime, from all at Grapevine, stay safe and well, and bye for now.